Joining me now on Our Town is Lori Severance. She is the coordinator for the chaplain program at Sosa Valley Fire and Rescue and Western Lane Ambulance District. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Not too bad. Not too
great.
Bad. You know, I always wonder, where do they get chaplains from in service like that? And tell me a little bit about the background of the chaplain service.
Okay. Well, we had one chaplain for 10, 12 years who was a retired minister. The initial program was about going out to people's homes in crisis at times of when there was a medical emergency, you know, drowning, car accidents, at a critical time when people needed support. He has since retired and moved on. And about a year ago, we have decided to expand the program. We now have four chaplains, and we're doing everything from what people need in terms of ministry to crisis intervention, provision of resources to people, grief support, that kind of thing. So we have kind of expanded our repertoire, if you will, of what we can respond to and how we respond. So we recruit from the community here, and we are recruiting now. In fact, we're looking in January to hire a couple new chaplains. It is a volunteer position, but we're looking for a couple people that have wide availability to respond all hours of day and night, because we do respond 24/7 to crises in the community. And we're looking for people that maybe have some crisis experience or counseling background or a very strong ministry background that are comfortable kind of out in the field in emergent situations.
How has the chaplaincy changed over the years? Some of the younger people, some of the people from different walks of life don't always respond the way, like we knew growing up, you know, priest comes out, the preacher comes out, the chaplain comes out, you know, and they provide a certain service. And now it's kind of different, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, you have more more complicated issues in society these days. So you have drug and alcohol issues. You have issues with violence. You do have a wider variety of what you might be responding to. It's not always just going out to offer prayer. You've got to have some skills with, you know, kind of behavioral assessment of what's going on when you get to a scene. Who's kind of the spokesperson for the family if there's multiple people there? Who should be approached? Who can you approach physically? Who should you maybe give a wider berth to? So it's expanded in terms of how people respond out there and what's going on in the world, what kinds of calls we get called on.
Now, I mean, they have a name for it now. They call it PTSD. I think maybe back in the day we probably called it shock.
Yes.
Or associated with that. But that's one entity. But then if you add on drugs or alcohol and stuff like that, it even complicates it even more.
Right, right.
So you have to have a little more knowledge about particular things in order to
exactly
mediate a situation like that.
Yeah, and we're developing a really great training program. You know, our fire department chief is wonderful about Chief Langborg about sending people to training, relevant trainings that come up, and you know, our training officer keeps us up to date on what's out there and what's available. So, you know, as many trainings as people are wanting to participate in, they're available, and you know, they can attend them. And we do attend a fair amount of trainings about PTSD and crisis intervention, active listening skills, you know, kind of de-escalation skills for when you're out there in a emotionally wrought situation.
Right. And then you add emotion onto trauma that's already happening,
right,
maybe on a scene or an accident or, you know, a death in a home or something like that. Then it really gets complicated.
Exactly, exactly. And PTSD, you mentioned that, is kind of an issue that's being looked at more and more in terms of first responders, kind of cumulative stress on the job, and it's in a lot of cases PTSD. But even people who don't experience PTSD symptoms, you know, there's cumulative stress in those kinds of first responder jobs. So a big part of what we do also is provide support and resources and just kind of lending an ear to the first responders who have been out on a bad scene or experiencing stress at home on top of what they come into every day and work. So that's an important part of what we do.
Well, and I imagine, too, that in certain circumstances, you can see transference or, you know, someone experiences something on a scene, a first responder that may have triggered something that they also experienced when they were younger or in a previous circumstance.
So. Yeah, or being in a small community here, a lot of our first responders know these people they respond to the scene on.
And that can be very difficult.
Sure, doing CPR on a child that their kids go to school with or, you know, someone who, reminds them of their brother. And so, yeah, it they're human like all the rest of us and have life experiences that get triggered by these kind of catastrophic events they respond to.
So you say you have four right now serving. How many would you like to see in the program?
We just had one leave who has a very busy life. And again, there's a decent time commitment with this. So we have three. We'd love to have four or five. And again, because we have some people who work full time and have commitments at home and aren't as available, we would love to have a couple more people who are, like I said, retired or work part-time and have a pretty good availability and the desire to do this kind of work. It takes a specific kind of person. It really takes someone who's willing to respond to a call at 3 a.m. in the rain and run out there and comfort someone who's just lost a family member in a car accident.
So you brought some pamphlets today. Obviously, you know, radio people can't see it out there, but let's talk a little bit about it. You've put together some information for when our first responder gets on a scene or when the chaplain gets on a scene to help folks with that. What are some of the different things that you've brought here and the importance of them?
Okay. I put together a pamphlet on grief issues to hand, because we do respond to a lot of scenes where people do unfortunately pass on. So there's a booklet here on grief issues, everything from setting up the funeral and the kinds of things you need to think about right away, early on, to after everyone moves on and gets back to their daily life and you're stuck in this place of grief, how to handle that, how to handle holidays, how to handle grief with children, how to talk with kids about it, that kind of thing. And then I also put together a specific pamphlet on children's grief, because when you have kids of multiple ages, children grieve differently than adults, and they grieve differently at different ages. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of points out some of the ways you might expect the behaviors you might expect to see from your child, how to handle questions, whether to bring them to a funeral or not, the kinds of questions that come up for parents who have to deal with this difficult issue with their children.
Because I don't think parents always realize, I mean, I knew I didn't when I was parenting, but that the way you speak to your child, the way you respond to what your child is dealing with can either escalate or de-escalate the situation. So if you're more skilled in how to talk to your child, the child's going to have a better chance of easier time with grief.
Exactly. And we aren't experienced with that.
Not until it happens.
Right. Exactly. And it can also affect how your child deals with that loss down the road and other losses, especially if it's someone very close with them. So we do have those two. We have a basic resource pamphlet to hand out to that has resources, everything from parenting to counseling and support groups to homeless resources, veterans resources. We try to cover, you know, all the basics in there to hand out on other kinds of scenes where there's other needs that present. And the most recent thing we put together was a first responder resilience and health pamphlet. And that is to, again, try to start dealing with or addressing the issue of PTSD and cumulative stress in first responders with what they have to go out and deal with each day. We're putting together a peer support program now, a tri-agency between police and ambulance and fire. And this booklet is kind of a precursor. It's something that, you know, can kind of be introduced to new recruits and to kind of start changing the culture a little bit of that, you know, you hold it in, you don't talk about it, I'm going to be okay. To start breaking that down a little bit and address some of these issues preventatively.
I think the only reason I still have some of my sanity left is I let it out. I don't care. I'll cry if I'm feeling it. You know, I don't hold that stuff in. That could be dangerous.
Yes. Well, and first responders, they have to move on to the next scene.
Right.
And they don't have
time
to process.
Yeah.
So.
So they find time later, hopefully.
Yes. Yeah. That's the hope of this program.
How do folks find out more about this to see if it's something that they would like to do and partake in to be a chaplain?
They can always give myself a call, Lori Severance at the fire department, or Pete Warren, who is our recruitment person.
Of course, we don't call him Pete, though.
No, that's true. Small community. He is Boa.
Yeah.
Call Boa. And we can be reached at 997-3212. I'm there on Tuesday and Thursdays. Boa, of course, is there all the time, and we can always return a call promptly if you call when we're not there. You can also drop by or mail in a resume if you're at all interested in this position. And the fire station address is 2625 Highway 101 here in Florence. Or you can drop it by the front office. That would be great, too, and come on in and see the fire station and get a little bit of more information or an orientation if you're interested in seeing the fire station.
And if you want to know more, I certainly go by and ask questions, right?
Absolutely.
Someone might think, well, I don't know that I have the training I need, but then they might have experiences in their life and things that they dealt with that work very and fit very well in with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, it's very much an issue of being a good fit. There's a lot of people without formal training who are excellent at just counseling, support, that kind of thing.
Some people have that ability.
They do.
That's a blessing for people.
Yes, they
do.
So. Yes.
Lori Severance, thank you so much. And good luck recruiting.
Great.
Is for the whole month of January you're going to be looking for folks?
Yes, through January 17th.
Okay, through 17th.
Thank you very much for having me here.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Coming up next on Our Town, we'll talk drugs with Chief Tom Turner and Sergeant Brandon Ott.